All right, it's Super Crosstalk time, and that means both Shidano and Cappy are here. Shidano, how was the 4th of July weekend?
Nice and relaxing.
Nice.
God, I should have taken a page out of your book.
Didn't do anything?
Nothing. We literally stayed home, hung out.
Isn't that awesome?
Like, chilled out. It's the
very
best.
Jealous.
Home is very
underrated. Wish I was that smart.
Yeah, we got a nice steak at Boa.
That's nice.
On Sunday night, and had dinner with friends, and brought home a New York strip, which is not cheap.
Did you eat it in bed?
No, it was for Sophie, who turned 16 on 4th of July. Yeah. So wow. She got her own New York strip steak, along with some scalloped potatoes, and she loved it.
Yeah, you mean like leftovers or her own deal?
Two people said that.
Mace, leftovers or her own deal?
Her own deal. Completely.
How much? How much?
$61.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, pricey steak. Yeah, Mace. I know, but she's only turned 16 once.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. Mace, sorry to hear about Fredo. I hope everything works out.
Yeah, he's going to have to be admitted tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So sad.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, hopefully it'll all work
out.
But
I hope it'll work out. I'm not going to let it be a downer on the show.
Yeah.
So, George, you were chilling this weekend at the house.
Yeah.
No drinking yesterday? Any alcohol yesterday?
I had a couple of beers. That's it. Just a couple Modelos.
Because John here was telling us about his rundown of alcohol.
Like an idiot.
And that's why I know the way I felt the day after the Mandy's. I know how you must feel today. Mace, I want you to know, you were in my head this weekend. You know what I decided to do yesterday?
What's that?
I decided to deploy your philosophy of California sober. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, California sober.
So I stayed away from all alcohol yesterday, and I was drinking soda water. And any time anybody's like, yo, what are you, you're not drinking today? I was like, no, I'm drinking vodka and soda. Like, I made it seem like I was drinking.
So why did you lie about it?
I don't know, because I just felt like somebody was like giving me like childish peer pressure. You know what I mean?
Just say I'm gummied up right now.
Well, so
I don't need booze.
Right. Yeah, so I was gummied up. I was on a nice 10 milligram smoky earlier in the day.
Isn't that so nice? A nice
so good.
Camino's got a really nice 10 milligram smoky.
But what I'll do is a little later in the day, 2 hours or so in, then I may go in for about another 5 milligrams.
All right. So I got a text here from Sedano.
Okay.
We're all on the chain. And it says it was at 1 o'clock today. It says, by the way, Cap and I forgot to mention something else Greg said about you guys on our show last week. We'll discuss during Crosstalk. Sedano, what did you mean?
Okay, so obviously you guys have been playing up the whole situation about the interviews or whatever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, by the way, I mean, that is a conversation that we have jokingly had on Crosstalk for a long time, right? Like, oh, you know, these guys, Sean McVay would be better with me, whatever.
We've done all that.
Greg really put meat on that bone again is by you know, saying what he said. Now, I actually think what he said and that you're playing all day is not even the thing you'll get most angry about.
So why are we doing this?
There's
something
else?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I think Cappy may have brought it up, but maybe it was me, who knows. But we were talking about the opens to the show, how you guys growl and we do our that thing. And I'm going to let you hear what Greg had to say about that.
Okay.
And then you do the drums. Not bad.
It's not as easy as it sounds, is it?
No, no.
A little harder than just going,
I mean, that was actually a Briones. You see, when Briones and I didn't used to do that, it was only those two. It was very much a Mason and Ireland thing.
Yeah,
and
then you have to have a little beat to do this, though.
Yeah, see, I like this better. But Briones turned around and said, let's bust
up
this.
Oh, can we
too.
Cut that up that he said he likes this better?
Oh, I'm cutting that
up. We need
up.
To immortalize that for
Mason's
the rest
right
of the
there.
Time.
Hey,
wait,
Mace,
what is
I like
wrong
this better.
With you? He's not paying attention. He's talking the bottom.
Is that really a big deal?
No, that's not as big of a deal.
That's
as
not
the
a
other
big
thing.
Deal at all.
Yeah, but I mean, all you're doing is picking away at our show,
no,
the show that you work on. Where is your pride in your work?
Okay, bring it. I never said anything was wrong with the growl. There was no wrong
after the show.
You just said you liked our thing better.
I like the beat. Ba da boo, ba da ba. That's fun. I do it in my office.
If we called you guys, Sedano and Cap, and offered you Bergman straight up for Lindsay, what's your answer?
No. Lindsay, come back.
Okay.
No. And Lindsay wouldn't do it either.
I agree.
Lindsay would
I agree.
Do it.
She's here. She wouldn't do it.
And we also made the same offer to Slee this morning.
Which I heard, by the way, Slee gave up Emily in 2 seconds.
I know. It was unbelievable. And then he realized.
It was just like, done deal.
But now Jorge doesn't want Emily. So
Jorge doesn't like Emily.
No. I didn't say that. I don't want Emily.
Oh, yeah. You got
different words, words in my mouth here. Yeah. I said, I don't want Emily. That's it. That's all I said.
All right.
That's
so,
but why? What do you have against Emily?
Because she trashed him.
Yeah. She's okay. Like, oh, Taylor's great.
She trashes everybody. Emily's a trash talker.
Wow.
Oh, listen to this. Oh, my goodness. Uh-oh.
Okay,
Hungarian
Heat
is back. Everybody's in on it.
Now,
Hungarian Heat is back.
Listen. Emily is a trash talker. It's very well proven. There's plenty of clips we could play back to prove it.
Okay. But I think we are now out of moves.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Because we don't want Bergman fired. We like him too much.
Yeah.
But we don't want him to produce our show because he doesn't like us.
Yeah. That's not so true. You're like the Nets right now.
Yes. We are in a weird spot. But I don't think we have – Sinano, you give me your opinion. I don't think we have another move other than – because we don't want to see Greg out in the street.
Right.
Because we don't want to see Riley with a dad that has no income.
Right.
So I think we just have to wear it. Do you agree?
Yeah, I like the idea of you guys saying that you're going to punish him in some way.
Yes.
I think that. By the way, John, I will push back a little bit on you and defend Bergman for a second.
What?
Exactly. You said, why would we want someone on our show who would be critical of the show? I would actually say that is the more open-minded approach, to have someone who is willing to be critical of your show and not just tell you everything's great when he doesn't actually believe it.
But not public.
Well,
I mean,
if that was the case, I'd still be on the show.
Right. I mean, if Lindsay came on
our show and laid it out on you guys, you would be upset.
No, Lindsay gives it to us on our show too,
she
so it's not. It would be no
on
different.
Your show, not behind your back,
yeah, but
on somebody
if she's
else's
already,
show.
If she's like, already
I'd
done
hear
it,
from, I'd hear from this from a caller.
Right,
I didn't even know what happened.
Yeah, Mike, who's Mike? Mike from where? He was a
Whittier, I think.
Yeah, he's the one that narked on.
He
Bergman.
Totally narked on Bergman. But my point is that. See, on our show, this is the difference. We're like married with children. We tell each other when we think each other's annoying or doesn't
but
like
here,
something.
But George, you just hit on it. He didn't tell us.
Right.
He told you.
Told you.
Right, but that's my point. You guys need to have a more open relationship.
But that's on him. That's not on us.
He's got an open mind.
Wait,
he can say anything
he wants at any time,
Greg, just like everybody here.
Greg, let me play devil's advocate here. If you would have said exactly what you said on our show, on your show.
On the show?
Yes, on Mason and Ireland, how would that have gone over?
It probably would have gone over the same way.
Exactly.
But better.
But it would have been better.
At
sure.
least you kept it internal.
Agreed. If
internal, but still external.
But
what
you
did
was
internal.
Anyway.
But hold on.
By the way, I don't agree with this critique. But on top of everything else, you bring it up on our show right after Keyshawn comes on.
Right.
What you did,
Bergie, was very much you played it out for the court of public opinion. Through the media, you didn't keep it in the locker room.
Oh, hey, Sinatra, he went full Phil Jackson. He put it out in the media.
He did send a message. He didn't call timeout. Yeah, he just let you guys deal with it.
Ireland, you just nailed it. He put it in the media to send his message, because for all the times that he said no guests, he's never really come out and said why no guests.
Yeah,
but then he put it out in the media. Because you guys don't ask good questions.
Bergman,
anymore,
I'm going to be your public defender here.
Thanks,
all right. What have you never said to the guys ever why you don't want guests?
Of course.
Than you just don't want guests.
Of course.
I mean, I've said.
He's told you that you don't ask good questions
extent.
Anymore?
Yeah, he
it
says
was never
we don't ask
extent.
Good questions or whatever it is. But for me, literally, I do a whole show where I ask questions. Like, there's one with Sliwa that's out right now. I actually am an interviewer. This is what I have done.
That's a podcast.
In the course of my career.
This is different.
But the reality is, we've been doing this for 30 years. You're going to reinvent the way interviews
are
done?
Well, what I think Greg is saying is that you're great at the podcast, the Culture Pop podcast, which people can listen to with you and Sue Kalinske.
Yeah,
right?
Shout out to Sue Kalinske.
Yeah. And it's the Culture Pop podcast. But he believes that maybe in the 10-minute format that you're not extracting the best possible information or entertainment out of your guests as opposed to the long form that you're
right.
doing.
Okay. And I totally disagree.
Yeah, and by the way, George, I think that's a completely valid opinion. It sounds like you share it too, but...
No, I mean, I think I'm better at it than you guys, but I don't think you're bad at it. I would disagree with that.
I think I'm better at it than you, so that's an honest disagreement.
And I think I'm the best of everybody.
I got one more thing to say.
Yeah.
I don't want Emily. I'm out.
Oh! All right,
there you go.
But George, my point would be, that's a valid opinion that anyone can have. But the person producing our show should probably not be withholding guests because he doesn't like the interviewers. There's thousands of people in the city who don't listen to us. The ones that do like us. The guy producing our show should like the show.
I do like the show. I like the show a lot.
Yeah, he does. He loves the show. I would say that he just doesn't like your interviews, and that's okay too.
Yeah, but we'd rather have somebody that would work with us there, right, and not go on a show after us and do it.
You would rather have affirmation as opposed to information.
I would rather have everybody rowing in the same direction.
Here's what I want. I want everything to happen on our show. Like, this is really good content. I want it on our show.
You should do all show business on the air.
I don't want it elsewhere. Show business stays within the show. Now we can mix it up like we do.
Your objection, Mason, is that he didn't say that on Mason and I.
Correct. Exactly.
He said it on our show.
Yeah, I mean, we want fireworks on our show. Say it on our show. Yeah.
I mean, I love the fireworks too.
Totally agree with that. And
we
should have been said
selfish
on your show.
About it.
Absolutely.
A little selfish about it from our perspective. We liked it on our show.
Oh no, we totally loved it on our show.
Right. Yeah. If I were you, I'd feel exactly the same way.
Yeah. I mean, Greg, feel free to say more.
Hey, no, my mouth stays shut from now on like it used to.
Sedano, do you understand this summer league thing that's going on in San Francisco compared to the one you're going to in Vegas?
Yeah, so there's actually, remember back in the day, John, there used to be
there was one in Orlando,
was the original, and then they did the Salt Lake one, which is actually on NBA on ESPN right now, the Salt Lake one. And then there was
right now on NBA TV, the Lakers are playing the Kings in this California Classic.
Correct. So now there's four of them. I mean, there's three of them. I'm sorry. Three of them. There used to be just Orlando and Vegas, and it was basically East and West. Right.
Right.
And then Salt Lake threw in like four teams, and teams started doing that one, too, in addition to the Orlando or Vegas. And then it just became Vegas for a while,
right,
which all the teams do, and Salt Lake came back, and then now the California Classic, which is really weird naming because it's not really a classic. It's only been on for a couple years.
And it's only four teams, right?
Right.
And and then Miami comes
all the way
out
west,
really? Right. Yeah. But I wonder, like, the Lakers have been, they're losing now. They're down by five, but there's still 5 minutes to go.
They've played well.
Have been
I watched
super
their
dominant.
First two games.
Yeah. Yeah. Does that mean anything, or is these like, well, we're basically talking about 10 guys who aren't going to play, and it, you know.
No, John, it means stuff for certain individuals, right. I would say. Like the guys who, like, look, I'll give you an example, right? You know, you mentioned Miami. I was watching that. I was at Vegas Summer League a couple years ago when, you know, Duncan Robinson and a year or two later, Max Strus, both went off in Summer League, and that got them an opportunity to get an opportunity and real run and real rotation minutes with the big club. So it can happen.
The Lakers won Summer League in Vegas a few years ago.
And I was there for it.
That was
Caruso
the team
was the
that
MVP,
had,
I believe.
Yeah. No, I think Kuzma was.
Oh, you're right.
Lonzo was the MVP of the whole tournament, and then Kuzma was the MVP of the championship game.
And Caruso, Caruso just played well throughout the entirety of it.
Talking about. Like, they built three or four guys that turned out to be rotation guys on their title team 2 years later.
So it matters in that regard. Yeah. Like, I think you should watch Summer League just so you can see the guys that you think can make the rotation. Because let's face it, the Lakers last year, they definitely leaned on young guys. Austin Reeves, Stanley Johnson was on the street, basically, not playing in the NBA. So I do think that these games matter in that regard for the, you know, the margins.
Yeah. Mace, this is some real, like, NBA insider mono convo here.
I know.
Me should now have like a couple minutes to
the
go
outsider
back to,
you know what, right. Cappy, you should introduce Mace to the outsider conversation,
right. Because George is very much an insider.
No way. And so is Ireland, way deep inside,
and you and me, we're on the outside
looking in.
By the way, we can say anything we want.
Right. Anything about anybody. Yep. I don't care. I don't have to face anybody.
But then John gets in trouble when you say something.
Right. Yeah, and George will get in trouble this year.
I think we're over that part of it, though. Yeah. I think it's pretty clear. I'm the bad guy. He's the good guy.
Okay.
Black hat, white hat.
Yes.
Right. So Mace, as you know, they went a little deep there. Back to my 10 milligrams. It was a great afternoon, by the way. No alcohol.
I would imagine. 10 milligrams must feel great.
10 milligrams, you're pretty hammered at that point.
I love no alcohol. I love
isn't
gummies
it? California
versus
sober
no
is the best.
Alcohol, let me tell you something about alcohol. I only had two beers yesterday, okay? Now, granted, I probably had the first one without having eaten much at that point in the afternoon. But I had like a little bit of a mild headache later in the night. And it's just like I've only had two beers, but it was because of when I drank it. I never have a headache on cannabis.
Cannabis, never. No hangover. Exactly. All right, so my little buddy boy has got to go to the hospital, so I'm going to get out of here.
So are we done with Bergman, or is there more for another day?
There's more.
Well, we got to come up with a punishment.
You guys have to decide what to do with it,
right? To be continued.
Just want to say the best thing I heard so far was Bergman walking through L.A. Live with the shame scene from Game of Thrones.
Shame. Which, by the way, have you even seen Game of Thrones?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
All right. Now, come on.
All right, last useless fact of the day, and then we'll hand it over to you guys. The woman that is yelling shame at Cersei in that scene.
I know who that is.
Is the one who plays the owner of Ted Lasso's soccer team.
Hannah Waddingham.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, Sonato and Cap coming up.
Yep, and meantime, we're kicking off the All-Star Weekend with our All-Star Friday night on Friday, July 15th at the West Covina Sportsplex. You'll be able to watch the Wiffle Ball Bash Home Run Derby, an All-Star softball game featuring everybody here at 710. All our shows broadcasting live starting at 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. live. You can come in, hang out with us. Everybody in attendance will have a chance to win tickets to the Midsummer Classic. 710 All-Star Friday night, open to the public, but if you want to get on our VIP guest list, text the word STAR to 40705. That's STAR to 40705. Your Southern California Hyundai dealers, it's your journey. Own it with Hyundai. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah!
Bam! Ba da bam!
Bam!
Ba da boop!
Ding!
Da da da!
Ba do 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 do!
Ba da bam!
Ba chum bam bam!
Bam! Ba da boop!
Bam! Ba da boop!
Greg likes to do this better than growl.
Ah! Bam!
He said it, not me.
Ding! Da da! By the way, did you notice during Super Crosstalk?
Yeah.
That Greg, he just kind of stayed quiet and in the weeds.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He didn't do any battling back of any sort.
Sheepish.
He just wanted to kind of stay under the radar today. Kinda stay out of that Mason zone. You know, Mason had missile lock on him, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah. They were heated for sure about that. By the way, I actually take this as a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. Do we have the audio of what Mason called me when they were discussing this earlier today?
Yes, I do.
Can I hear that, Laura? Thank you.
I mean,
yeah. And by the way, leave it to you and Sedano. Sedano's amping this whole thing up, too.
Well, of course he is.
He walked right into his trap.
That's where he lives.
I mean,
I did walk into a trap.
Sedano can be kind of a snake. He pulled this out of you during the show, and I do not.
I mean, I kind of did it myself.
There's no excuse for going on another show and trashing the one that you work with.
Now, look, I take it as a badge of honor there, Cappy, because, yeah, I am kind of a snake. He's right, though. He started it, and once I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah. I'm not the snake here, Cappy. You know what I am?
Tell me.
The snake charmer.
Oh, really? The snake charmer you are. Is that right?
Yeah. I got the snake to dance. Bergman is the snake. He's the one that did Mason and Ireland dirty. I just got it out of him.
You know, you're actually right. But Mason is right in this way. Like, he stepped right into everything you wanted him to step into.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, if you go back and you listen to the part of the tape that they were all upset about, mm-hmm. You know, where Bergman just says, look, they're not good at interviews. They're not fun. They don't ask the good questions anymore.
Now, be honest. Are they better at it than us?
No, they're not better at it than us.
No, we always get the laughs and the fun and the funny.
But the thing is that he said what he said, but the way you kind of led the witness and the way he kind of piled on rather than saying, oh, no, there's a reason. He just bought
he
right
went
in. Right.
He went
exactly.
In. He went
so,
in.
So while Mace is calling you the snake, I like where your head's at. Because I've seen some of these like shows on these channels where there's a king cobra that comes out of this whatever thing the cobra lives in, and then there's a guy and he's looking at the cobra and he's pulling like this eye trick on him, and you think the cobra, because the cobra's like picked himself up, and he's looking at the dude, right, and the guy's got total control of him, and rather than the cobra like lashing out at him, the guy who's the charmer is like, chill, dog, my snake, what up? Was crack-a-lacking, my snake. And then, the snake just kind of stands there like, I don't know what to do.
Such an idiot.
Instead, I just listen to what the snake charmer says. You're that guy. He's the cobra. Bergman's the cobra.
Right. He's the cobra. He's the one that put the venom into Mason in Ireland, not me.
Right.
Snake charmer.
I like that, George. I do.
Hashtag snake charmer.
Let's get that trending today, everybody. Hashtag snake charmer. Hashtag snake charmer.
Lindsay, do you agree? I'm not the snake in this scenario. I am the snake charmer.
I agree that you're not the snake, but I feel like the snake charmer, I don't know. I feel like that's a weird way to describe it, George.
Why? I got him to do my bidding.
I mean, I guess if you say it that way, it's accurate.
Yeah. Laura, what do you think? Laura says I'm a snake because it's in my horoscope.
Yeah, you're Chinese, in the Chinese horoscope, he's a snake, but that's what they are. Like, they charm their way through a lot of things. So, I mean, it's accurate. It's not a bad thing.
I am a charmer.
It's a great thing.
Yeah.
Oh, what am I in the Chinese thing?
What year were you?
What year am I born?
Yes.
Yeah.
1970.
1970, Chinese.
I think you're a monkey. No.
Zodiac.
No, you're a dog.
Yeah.
You are a dog.
Yeah. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Loyal.
What is the Chinese dog personality?
He's loyal.
Okay. Yeah, faithful.
Yeah. And then he's also like, when you have a gripe on something, whether it's positive or negative, you don't let it go. So you just kind of hold on to something, and you hold on to people very tightly.
Oh, these are all accurate statements.
Yeah,
so here we go. Laura's got it, and then there's more here. I'm just reading this off the internet.
Oh no, this is on my head, so you probably got.
Oh, I know, girl. I know. faithful, so you got that right. Courageous, Cappy. You are courageous, Cappy.
I will tell you this, George. I'm right now finding on YouTube tons of videos of snake charmers.
Yeah, me too.
Of guys who have these massive-ass king cobra snakes.
I mean, just in front of them, right?
Right in
their
face.
The first one that comes up on YouTube is incredible.
It's insane.
Yeah, like the cobra, the size of the cobra, like, are they called wings? Like, whatever. The top, the head of the cobra is like the size of the guy's head. It's insane. So anyway, let me see what else you have. You have agile. Are you agile? You were once agile.
I'm getting more agile. I started my diet today, George.
Oh, yeah?
Same.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Started my diet because now that Chris Morales told me he started his diet, I'm in with the guy.
Yeah. So, warm-hearted? Yeah. You're kind of warm-hearted, Cappy.
Yeah, pretty warm-hearted guy.
Yeah, and smart.
I mean, depends.
4 out of 5 is not bad.
Yeah, but that's pretty good. 80% is pretty good. Seriously, it's not bad at all. So wait, I want to know if all those things are about the snake, right?
Yeah.
What are all those things about the dog?
The snake. Yeah. So the snake, Laura, what was it you had?
So snakes are really, really charming. They're really good at getting their way.
Yeah.
I actually told you, I think, in the studio, like, sometimes you guys can hold a grudge for a long time, or you guys will let it go and then be like, ooh, I remember when. Yeah. So you guys keep notes, keep receipts.
So here's the snake characteristics. Wise, humorous, brilliant, decent, sophisticated, eloquent. Weaknesses, lazy. I don't know about that. I work like a madman. And then responsible leader and creative.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I don't know. If you just mentioned like 12 different characteristics, I'm going to say you're about 7 for 12.
Yeah. Also, this one actually breaks it down to like different categories. So in like love and relationships, romantic, enthusiastic, and loyal, it says.
That's you?
Best matches, dragon and rooster.
Hmm. You'll have to excuse me, George. I've become fixated on this guy charming this king
charming
cobra.
Charming the snake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, I have to admit, what you did to Bergie is like what this guy's doing to this king cobra right now.
That's all I'm saying.
Just,
I am the snake charmer.
Bergie was slithering like the cobra. And you're just kind of holding him by the neck, just kind of petting him along the way.
Yeah, I got you. Come on,
just kind of tickling him on the back
Mason
a little
Ireland,
bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Keep talking about them. Tell us the truth. How do you really feel?
You know,
how do you feel about booking
them
guests?
I looked at my compatibility because I'm an ox. It says complementary pairs. Dog is one of them.
Oh, you and Cappy.
And best matches, rat, snake, and rooster.
Well, there you go. The rooster
so
seems to get along
like,
with everybody, apparently.
We're like a good big family. I get along with the snake.
Laura, which
and
are you?
Dog.
I am a dragon.
You're a dragon? Mm-hmm.
Oh, the
mean?
Dragon's under my bad matches.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
That's it. Dragon and the ox. Well, more I can see where the ox would be.
The ox
the
is really
would...
stubborn.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it makes sense. Ox, yeah.
Hungarian Heat came out right away today during Super Crosstalk.
Yeah.
Just firing right away.
Yeah. Speaking
just
of
wasting no time.
Yeah. So, Snake Charmer's being tweeted at me. Thank you for all the Snake Charmers. Yeah.
Hashtag Snake Charmer, yeah. I'm going to start putting out some videos on these Snake Charmer guys. These guys are fascinating to me.
So, real quick, speaking of putting things out, so Jeannie Buss put out a tweet, and we can start talking about this here and then eventually carry it over to the next segment. So she put, I want to pull up the tweet before I do anything real quick, because I would imagine, so I have thoughts on this, Cappy, as you would imagine. So
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So I think there are things not specific to what she wrote, but there are things that I know that would be the reason why she would be frustrated and perhaps send a tweet like that at 11:11 p.m. Pacific time at night. Okay,
11:11?
On a
Sunday.
It's 11:11. Make a wish.
11:11. Yes, 11:11. So here, I'm sure everybody knows it already by now by memory, but I'll do a quick read. I miss KB, Kobe Bryant. He would understand and explain everything that I'm not allowed to. Honestly, he was the greatest Laker ever. He understood team over self, meaning your rewards would come. If you valued team goals over your own, then everything would fall into place. All can reply. I think she initially, you know how Twitter has that option where you could like have only the people reply that that you mentioned? I don't know what that was all about. That seemed weird. But anyway, nonetheless, here this is
wait,
what I would
wait,
call.
You say you have thoughts, right? And you say
I have
you,
thoughts.
And you
yeah.
say you have some things that you know, right?
So let me tell you what I know.
Okay, but before you tell me that, I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
You're on the inside.
Yeah.
And you may know some things.
Right.
I'm on the outside.
Right.
And I don't know anything.
Correct.
But here's what I will tell you.
Yeah.
Without knowing anything.
Yeah.
I've got a very strong, unadulterated, unapologetic.
Yeah.
Opinion about the tweet.
Okay.
From the outside.
Now, let me tell you what I know. That because here's what I would get. This is the, let me guess first. So Jeannie Buss is under a lot of pressure, right? It's why she went and talked to Bill Plaschke, right? Remember, she told the story to Bill Plaschke and we spent a lot of money and I'm not happy with the results, blah, 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 yada, 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 right? So she's frustrated and I understand it. She has every right as the owner of this team to be frustrated. No question about it. I feel her. I would also say this. Now, I don't know if you do this, Cappy, but I do. I generally like to follow people on Lakers Twitter. And by Lakers Twitter, I mean people on Twitter who are big Lakers supporters, tweeters, et cetera, have a decent sized following. There's a bunch of them, okay? Because the Lakers have the largest fan base. On social media on the planet when it comes to a sports team. So there's I would probably say easily 100 people that I follow that are big time Laker fans, right? And they just happen to have a decent sized following because they're really fun, interesting follows on social media. So I follow them. Now, out of those 100, there's a decent amount that tweet a lot of stuff at her. And when I mean stuff, I mean not so nice stuff all the time, okay? So she's human. This is the guessing part. She's human. She's got to see that stuff. Eventually, that's got to get annoying. That's my guess, okay?
Okay, I'm with you so far. All
that,
right.
I think that this tweet is clearly layered. There's a lot of layers to this. But I think that's probably one part of the tweet. It's just she's had enough of the people tweeting nasty stuff at her. Is that fair?
I mean, it's fair if that's the way you see it. I don't personally see it that way, but all right.
Okay. Now, I will tell you what else I see. And now I'm going to tell you what I know, but I'm going to do that on the other side because we got a break. We're going to be back in 90 seconds. Cappy, you wearing your bikini today?
You know, I'm trying to get back into it, George. I got to be honest with you, man. Chose the wrong month to start a diet, you know? Should have started this in like...
Fail you.
Like March or April, thinking about June or July.
That's what most normal people do.
Right, but now here I am in July, and I'm thinking more like August, September.
Yeah.
You know? So the diet has begun.
I ate like an animal yesterday, not like a snake. So.
No? Like just like a big old bear?
Yeah.
Just tearing through things?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I ate way too much yesterday.
I understand. I eat way too much every day, which is why, in honor of Chris Morales' 40th birthday, which is on the way, it's coming, he said he needs to lose 40 pounds by the end of the year and then 20 next year, right? Isn't that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm in. Okay, I don't need to lose 60 pounds per se, but I got to just, like, I got to find a little bit of discipline out there somewhere. I'm in on the diet with Morales. Laura tells me she's in as well. Is this right, Laura?
Correct.
Okay. George, you say, you know, you don't need to lose any weight.
Hungarian Heat. No, I can lose like 10. I'd be happy if I lost like 10.
Okay.
Laura says I shouldn't lose 10, but I need to lose 10.
I don't think you should. I'm trying to lose like 20.
Okay. All right. I'd like to lose like 10 pounds. At least.
Lindsay is in great shape. She's in the best shape of all of us right now. Mm-hmm.
Hungarian Heat this weekend was just
shape.
She was throwing axes. I saw you. That's right. I was stalking you on social media this
weekend. Oh, yeah. I did see that, too. Yeah.
Oh, you were too then.
It was actually.
I mean, she hit a bullseye on one of them.
Yeah. It was like the second throw. It was not as hard as I thought it would be.
See? I told you.
I thought it was going to be so difficult.
That's the Hungarian Heat background and bloodlines, I would imagine.
That's true. That's definitely true. I went with my friend who, he's in the Army, and he was doing them one-handed, and I was like, oh, whatever, show off. So I got up there, my first try, I hit it on, like, you know, it was like one of the outer rings, but I still hit it. There was all these people next to me that couldn't even get it to stick.
See, that's what I told you last week, that when first time I ever did this axe throwing, I was like, gosh, I'm, like, really good at this, and I didn't expect to be good at it, but for some reason, I was good at it. It's just not that hard. You just throw it, and, like, I don't know, for some reason, it just goes thump, and it just, the axe part sticks in the bullseye thing.
How does it go again?
It goes like this. You throw it, you whip it, and it goes thump. Like, there's a sound that it makes.
You added extra sounds there.
Now I was whipping through the air, you know, thump.
I think it's hard. I think we're just surprisingly good at it.
Well, I don't know, your two-handed routine, I was like, what is she doing with the two hands?
Most people were doing it two-handed.
Is that
Dude,
right?
That they thing is heavy for some
They
people.
Use the two-handed style,
heavy,
huh?
It's heavy.
Lindsay, I tried doing it one-handed. It wouldn't work.
Lindsay, you know what I like to do? I like to show off. I put one in each hand.
Yeah. Oh, what's wrong with you?
It's true. We were highly advised against any type of trick throws.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got good quickly.
By the way, now Laura's got me all interested because Mason called me a snake, and I preferred to be the snake charmer the way I charmed Greg into saying what I wanted him to say. But now I'm all into this snake zodiac thing. You want to hear best careers for snakes?
Okay, let me hear.
Snakes are very creative and extremely diligent. Although snakes work very hard, they have a tendency to be job hoppers. Well, that makes sense. I do move around a lot around this company. And they become easily bored. That is also fair, too. It's why I do a lot of things at the company. I literally always say that I'd be bored if I just did one thing. Snakes are great thinkers. Complex problems stimulate them. I mean, look, I mean, I took you on as a co-host. So that
is a complex problem, to be sure.
Yeah. They're excellent problem solvers and thrive under tight deadlines. That's true. I've always been like a procrastinator when I was in school. Like, I always just did stuff at the last second.
I understand that. I'm still a procrastinator.
The best things happen when you wait last minute sometimes.
I don't know about the best thing.
Well, like creatively, I feel like sometimes for
me. Well, because you have no choice. Yeah.
Right, because you're desperate.
That or fail.
Right, I'm so desperate. I need creativity right now.
4.0, baby. 4.0.
So anyway, I'll get back to Genie Bus now, or what do you want to keep talking about snakes and Zodiac?
No, but I would like to say to everybody.
And thumping.
Right, well, listen, everybody who's in the Sedano and Cap community on Twitter right now, everybody who is a part of the Circle of Trust, everybody who's hashtagging Snake Charmer and putting out videos of like these dudes sitting there playing the flute while the King Cobra is just doing his dance. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about right now.
Oh, but granted, LA did the best one.
Let me see what he did.
He's got me as a snake charmer, and he's got my head on it, photoshopped. And he's got Greg's head photoshopped on the Cobra.
That's very good, Grant. Very good photoshopping. Outstanding. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about right there.
Right.
That's how you can be part of the show every day.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great. It's great stuff. So if you want to be part of the Sedano and Cap community, you can by going to the community section on Twitter, and then in the search bar, type in Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust.
What do people do if they can't find it? Like, I'll give you an example. This past
There's some
weekend,
people that can't based on their privacy settings.
Right. Like, so this past weekend, I grabbed Rachel's phone. And I was showing her the picture from last week where we were, you know, the heavyweight champions of 7-10, where we took down six Mandys, Mason and Ireland took down five Mandys, and then Travis and Slee, for some reason, got goose egg. They got shut out.
Yeah.
And I showed Rachel, I'm like, of all the thousands of photographs that were taken that day, they chose to use this one where it looks like Rachel's photobombing the whole thing. So I said to her, I said, do you follow everybody on Twitter? So she follows you, George.
Yeah.
She now follows Kelly Sedano. She follows Unique. She follows Lindsay Baseball. She follows everybody. But I wanted to get her into the circle of trust, but I couldn't find the community section on Twitter on her phone.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with her privacy settings.
Okay, so if anybody else is experiencing that trouble.
Google that.
So, yeah.
So somebody, because there's a few people that have all, like, would tweet me and be like, hey, we want to get in. And I've talked about this on the air. So apparently somebody kind of figured it out and posted it on their page. I'll try to repost it. But if you go and you search, like, Stranger Things community was up for like a while promoted. So even if you click on that, it'll kick start the communities tab on the bottom. And then you can eventually leave. You just need to join something that's being promoted to give you that tab. Then you can find us, and then you can unfollow us.
So you
got
to join some other community to be able to access all the other communities.
Yep. So it's like a little trick if you guys want to get in. Anything promoted that's like a community, you guys can go in there, just grab us, and then kick the other one to the rocks.
See, George, once everybody figures out how to use this feature, we're going to go from, I mean, a lot of people who are intimately involved in the community to where things are just going to go haywire because there's all of a sudden going to be probably like 5 or 6 million people immediately.
No, there's no haywire. I'm in charge.
You don't think? I mean, if once things get to 5 or 6 million
followers, was getting a little crazy, and they were saying some stuff about some people, and I just wrote very simply, "Everyone needs to behave." Thank you.
You walked in like Nate Dogg and Warren G, and you regulated.
Yeah, that's it. I just literally everybody knew exactly. I didn't have to say anything. I didn't have to call anyone out. I just said everyone in here needs to behave. Thank you.
Okay. Well, when it gets to 5 or 6 million, which will probably happen quickly.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
You don't think?
So, all right. So let me get back to Jeannie Buss's tweet. Okay. So Jeannie Buss tweeted about a bunch of things, right? And Jeannie Buss has, the thoughts on, Kobe and blah, 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 and team goals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I mentioned in the last segment that Jeannie takes a lot of grief on social media. And I would imagine that at some point she opens her Twitter and it's just that nonsense. And after, look, everyone's freaking human, man. Like after a while, that would be annoying, you know? So I can tell you that I see it. I see the things that people send her, and it makes me uncomfortable, to be frank. I can't even imagine what it makes her feel like. So there's that. So I know that I don't know that that's what bothers her, but I know that it would bother me if it was coming in droves like that consistently, like a waterfall. So there's that. Now, here's what I do know, Cappy, okay? And this has nothing to do per se with Jeannie, but I do know the Nets are not interested in doing the current deal that the Lakers discussed with them. Okay.
You know what that current deal is?
My guess is they don't want. Okay. Not my guess. I have a very strong feeling. Okay.
More souls.
Very strong feeling the Nets have very little interest in Russell Westbrook. Okay. So, look, to be honest, that the deal doesn't get done without them, which means that the deal needs to become more creative, which then means the deal needs to take longer because adding more teams, getting creative, means that it takes longer. So there's that. So I can imagine that Jeannie's frustration is multi-layered. One, people on Twitter are jerks, okay? Let's just start with that. Number two, the deal isn't done, and it's got to be annoying. And that also leads people to be more jerkish on social media. Get the deal done. What are you? And, you know, they say mean things about, like, the organization being cheap, this, that, and the other. And it's just like, whatever. Okay. I'm not going to get into their finances because I don't know. Okay. I know she doesn't have the money Steve Ballmer has, or they don't have the money Steve Ballmer has, or Mark Cuban or whatever, but nonetheless, the Lakers aren't crying for money. Okay. So I don't think that cheap is really an issue, especially after they just spent, you know, what was it, the fourth most in the league last year? Like, I don't know.
But what are you saying? Are you saying that her tweet on Sunday night at 11:11 PM, you're saying that her tweet is because her feelings are hurt because people have said mean things to her on Twitter?
I don't think it's just that. I think this is layered. I think that that's probably a part of it, that people are just obnoxious on social media, and the Kyrie situation or lack of movement in the Kyrie situation has created more issues for her there. So, and then there's also her own personal frustration that the deal hasn't been consummated, right?
So there's that. Then I would add, you know, and here's the trap everyone wants. Speaking of traps, I do. Now, this is just me recklessly speculating. OK, this is not me knowing anything. But if I had to guess, she's probably, you know, subtweeting LeBron a little bit.
A little.
And the reason I say that, and the reason I feel confident in saying that, is because remember, there was reporting that you and I talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago where it was LeBron will not commit long term to the Lakers until he sees what the draft and free agency situation looks like. Remember we had that conversation?
I remember it vividly.
Yeah. So I do think it's multi-layered, and I may even be missing a couple of layers, but that I think that those things are all part of it, sure. And George, by the way, the Kobe part of it, look, everyone loves Kobe, Cappy.
But I understand.
Let's not rewrite history either, okay? I love Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, may he rest in peace, is one of the greatest players of all time. He is arguably the greatest Laker of all time. I mean, if she says he is, I'll buy it because it's her team. But let's not rewrite history. And, you know, Kobe, I believe, called Mason in Ireland and asked out, like, said he wanted a trade. And, you know, the whole Shaq thing and, you know, the Andrew Bynum video phone thing about Jason Kidd and, like, some strip mall in the OC. Let's not rewrite history is what I would say.
Well,
respectfully.
Listen, everything you just talked about, I see this much more simplistically than you see it.
Okay, tell me how simplistic it is on the other side. We're back in 90 seconds. Oh, yeah. A little Huey.
Hit the post.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job. Used to love Huey Lewis. Really did.
He was great.
I'm trying to remember which song it was where he had the video where he's cruising through San Francisco and he's wearing the red suit with the black T-shirt. And I was a teenager and I thought, that's an awesome look. I should rock that. Red suit, black T-shirt. Anybody know what video that was?
No, I don't.
Somebody will know. They'll put it in the community.
Is that the one that Joe Montana's in?
Don't recall Joe Montana in the video, but it might make sense. I mean, Huey Lewis was a San Fran guy, and the video is all about San Francisco. Which one was it, guys? The red suit, the black T-shirt. Somebody will know. Somebody will put it in the community, George. I'll have it in a matter of seconds.
That was okay. Before my time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I love Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
You guys also know I love tribute bands. I have a friend who has a Huey Lewis tribute band, and the guy has, like, grown his hair to look like Huey Lewis. He sounds exactly like the guy has transformed himself into Huey Lewis. It's kind of a little creepy in a weird way.
I want a new drug.
I want a new drug. Do 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 do.
Is it that one, Cappy?
Do 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 do. Yeah. I want a new drug. Well, yeah, it could be. Could be want a new drug. I don't know. Somebody will know. Somebody will know.
I'm looking at the video here. Hold on. Oh, of course, commercials.
Of course. I mean, right? I mean, every time you go to YouTube now, you got to sit through commercials. Till it gets
only like
to skip
10
ads.
Seconds and you can skip through it, yeah.
Yeah, you got to skip ads. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm watching it. I'll let you know. So anyway, you had a comment, Cappy. I gave you a layered, as the NBA insider, a layered breakdown of what I believe the Genie Bus tweet from Sunday night was. You have a very simplistic approach to it.
Right. Because just remember, you said, I know some things.
I do know some things.
We know that you know some things because we know you as the NBA insider.
Mm-hmm.
But allow me to give you my analysis as an NBA outsider.
Give it to me.
Here goes. First and foremost, I'll break this down for you line by line. First line, I miss KB, Kobe Bryant. We're starting off with, I'm letting you know I'm invoking Kobe's name right now, everybody. So get ready.
Yeah.
Okay? Because he, Kobe, would understand and explain everything that I'm not allowed to. There are certain things I'm just not allowed to say. You know why? Because people don't really think of me as knowing basketball. People say, leave it to the basketball people. So in the meantime, the woman has been around basketball her whole adult life. She was around her father, who wasn't a basketball guy, not until he bought the Lakers. He was a fan. She knows the game. She knows it better than I do, better than most of us do. But, you know, people are like, she's not the basketball person. So first she starts with Kobe. Then she says, I could explain it. He would explain it, but I can't explain it. And then she goes on to, honestly, he was the greatest Laker ever. Okay, she has built her whole thing around what she's about to say, which is coming right now. Meaning, back one line, he, Kobe, understood team over self, meaning your rewards would come if you valued team goals over your own, then everything would fall into place. Let me tell you something. Outsider perspective. I didn't call people. I didn't ask Dave McMiniman what he's hearing. I didn't call Ramona and ask her, hey, what do you know? George and I didn't even really talk about it. I'm the outsider. That is a shot at LeBron James. Plain and simple. Kobe would understand it. Kobe got team before self. But you see, if you valued team goals, like if you cared about the organization, you would value our team goals. But really, all you're caring about is your legacy, your brand combined with our brand. It's so much more about you than it is about us, our history, or our future. In my opinion, outsider looking in. Tell me if I'm way off here, everybody. To me, that is Jeannie sending her shot to LeBron.
I told you I thought it was part of it. I think that what I would say to you is this, though. Again, it's what I said earlier. It kind of rewrites history in a way that isn't factual, though. Like, again, we all love Kobe Bryant, but Kobe Bryant was not perfect. Kobe Bryant, again, had his issues with Shaq, and they chose Kobe over Shaq. Cool. Okay? I'm not even going to count that one. But then there's the... He literally called Mason in Ireland and wanted to be traded. Okay? There's that. And then there was the whole strip mall somewhere in Orange County where some kid at the dawn of camera phones, like this is so long ago now, it was like 15 years ago or whatever it was, and like some kid's like, hey, Kobe, you know, they don't want to trade Andrew Bynum for Jason Kidd. What do you think? Of course they trade bleeping Andrew Bynum for bleeping Jason Kidd. Like, let's not act like that never happened, though. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
I understand, like, but what I'm saying to you is...
But no, that's what I'm saying to, like, that's what I would say to her, too. Like, I get invoking Kobe's name is... Look, she's invoking Kobe's name because she... Two things, and Ramona said this earlier on Mason in Ireland. She leaned on Kobe a lot. And, you know, when... Stuff was going sideways that first year with Magic at the helm and all that stuff and LeBron and not getting the deal done for AD. The guy who calmed the waters, particularly with Kyle Kuzma, I'll never forget that, was Kobe Bryant. So she did lean on Kobe Bryant. In that regard, yes. Kobe Bryant put the organization above himself when he was no longer a player because of his allegiance and loyalties to her and that organization and her father and the whole thing. That I'm not arguing with. But when you say it the way she said it, you leave it open to interpretation to just kind of dismiss the stuff he did when he was an actual player, which is if you are indeed, and I'm not saying she is, I'm just saying that I could understand your position on it. If she is indeed taking a shot across the bow to LeBron James, then it's kind of like, wait a second. These things all happened when he was a player. So, like, what are we doing here? You know?
Yeah, but now where we are in the world and with Kobe Bryant tragically dying as such a young man, okay, she has decided to, this is not something she's doing all that often. She's not starting most of her tweets with, you know, Kobe would say this, but I can't really say this. What she's saying is that Kobe would have stood up to him. And I'm not saying that she's not. I'm just saying that she's saying, this is my opinion here. We gave our organization over to LeBron. This whole mess with Russell Westbrook, it's kind of on LeBron. And the fix is a guy in Kyrie Irving that LeBron really wants, who, let's face it, most of us don't really feel like we can count on. So we've already given the organization to LeBron. Now we have to give it to him again. And does LeBron really care about us, the Lakers, or does LeBron only care about getting to his finish line and working our brands together? I just, listen.
Wait, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, then this may end up being a really long Lakers podcast basically today with our shenanigans in between, but I'm fine with that if you're fine with that because I have questions now for you.
I'm wide open.
Okay. Well, we'll do that plus what you need to know in between. We'll be back in 2 minutes.